speaking with David Carbonara, the composer on Mad Men. David, thanks for talking to me today.
Welcome.
First, I wanted to find out, how did Matthew Weiner come to you with a show? That you knew each other and he came to you, I've got this crazy idea for a show that's going to be set in the early 60s and you're the perfect guy to write music for it?
Well, I met him in 98, I would say. So my wife went to college with him, and then I've given him some of my music. We talked about music a lot over the few years before he wrote the script to Mad Men, but he likes a certain kind of music. He likes standards, and he's into quite a bit of very melodic music.
Mm-hmm.
And he liked what I had done for some small films in New York. He sent me the script for Mad Men, which he wrote, I think it was probably like 2001.
It was that far back?
Let me see. I actually have the pilot script. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wrote it like 7 years before it was made.
Oh.
And he said, if I ever do the show, I want you to do the music on it. Let's see, here it is. First draft, April 5th, 2001.
How about where he was having history right in your hands there?
Yeah. That far back, he wrote it. And he kept his word. Like in 2006, we kept a little bit in touch. He went to New York to write on The Sopranos. I was living in Brooklyn at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We starred each other in Manhattan a few times. And like I think it was 2006, he called me up and said, they're making my show.
That's a nice phone call to get.
Yeah, it was great. They were shooting the pilot in New York, and I was living in Los Angeles. And he came out and did, you know, was editing it here in Los Angeles. And it's all history now.
Fly me to the moon and let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter.
Well, tell me about, now, you don't choose all of the songs. You've chosen some of the songs that are, we're talking about, I want to talk about your music in just a little bit, but the songs that appear on the show that are, let's say, jazz standards or pop tunes from that time period, you've chosen some of them, but other people choose some of them. How does that work?
Mostly, Matt Weiner has been collecting music over the years. He's basically obsessed with this show. It's his obsession for many years. You know, when I started, he gave me two or three CDs of music that, if this series ever goes, he'd like to put in.
Yeah.
So he has really picked out most of the music. It's only when he's a little bit stumped that he reaches out. You know, I've come up with some things, and other people have come up with some music.
Now, I want to stop you there because you're a trombonist, right?
I'm not. I don't play anymore, but uh-huh. I did for many years, yeah.
And did you playing in bands that did jazz covers? Or?
Yeah, when I was young, I played in big bands in mm-hmm. Massachusetts around Boston with some great players. You know, played a lot of Stan Kenton, Woody Herman, Buddy Rich, did a lot of that. And then my brothers and I come from a music family. We had bands that played a lot of Tower Power.
There you go.
And going back to Wilson Pickett, Otis Redding,
well,
you know, more nightclub stuff that was fun to play.
Well, I mean, and that genre, it's a mix of genres, really, really comes through in the show and in your music. What I pick up from listening to it, all of these elements, it's almost like a love letter to that.
Yeah, I think I don't know, I think being a trombonist, pretty young when I started at 9, and I listened to anything that had a trombone in it that was of pop nature, so I ended up, like I said, Stan Kenton.
Oh, that's nothing Henry better Mason. Than that.
anything of that ilk I really would grab onto. So I think those years, I think in 8th grade, 7th, 8th grade, and I played in the, we had a college, Bridgewater State College, and they had a big band with a lot of teachers from Berkeley and Boston, New England Conservatory, and I was like in 8th grade, going every Wednesday night to play with that band.
Oh, what a great...
They're always looking for trombone players.
Everybody wanted to play trumpet, but you were there with the bone section, huh?
Yeah, for about 5 years, I'd say, right through high school. My older brothers had played in that band, and we did it every Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I got to play some very challenging music. And so that stuck with me. Then I went to Berklee College of Music, studied with Phil Wilson a little bit, and played in some great bands. School. And, you know, Matt Weiner, I'm lucky because Matt Weiner really likes melody, and it's a lot of television, it's not there. They don't want anything intruding in on the dialogue, and it's the craft of film scoring is very difficult, but I know melody is sort of gone by the wayside.
Well, you know, it's funny because what occurs to me is that time period of the late 50s into the late 60s, let's say, was a golden age for TV theme writing, for TV underscoring, and people don't seem to write that. I mean, I'm talking about like McHale's Navy, Bewitched, I mean, they were writing big band charts. I think you really tap into that. And Matthew Weiner, that whole Mad Men ethos just taps into that.
Yeah, he really likes that. He told me the story one time. He was going down to Santa Monica Promenade and Borders Music was closing. And he walked in. He said a lot of the shelves were empty, but easy listening, had plenty of music. And that's his section. You know, and he picked up a Doris Day collection, and you know, so I got to say that, you know, but he likes other music too, but I just say no one would ever say that to me, but
that's a great story. Listen, the song Lipstick was written for this the scene where all the women are trying on the different shades of lipstick. Did you intend to write it for that scene, or was it something that had been been kicking around and they ended up using it for that? How did that come about?
I wrote it for I don't know, maybe episode 3, where Paul Kinsey shows Peggy around the office at lunchtime. Nobody's there.
Okay.
He's giving her an office tour. I wrote it for that, and I kept adjusting it from that. He could say, I don't know. And I would change it and, you know, start later in the scene. So but I really wanted something to go with the tour. And he basically ended up saying, I don't really want music in that scene. So I submit demos of my music, and then they put it in, they show Matt. That sat around, and Lipstick is probably in episode 5 or 6, I can't remember. One of the editors put it in for that scene, and he showed Matt the first cut of this, and it was in there as a montage.
Right.
Matt was, he loved it. He was like, how's Carbonara going to do this one? He didn't think it was my music.
he thought you'd be all upset.
And then Malcolm said, no, that is his. And it was like, Matt called me up right in there, called me up and said, that's unbelievable. Well, you didn't want it in episode 2, now you love it. He said, wait till you see it. I do a lot of the write demos, and they don't necessarily get in, but they're around. And Matt says, you know, that's a great piece of music, but I can't really use it for the scene, but don't worry, we'll use it next year.
it's really nice to hear the story about you write something, and then you're not entirely happy with it. You work on a little more, you're working, you're still tweaking it, you're adding more things, and that's, you know, that's what composers do.
I tend to take more things out. I tend to overwrite. It takes me so long to write the music for Mad Men. Part of it is, it's a very quiet show, and there's not a lot of music, so when I come in, it's coming from nothing, and I don't want to be noticed. It has to be there. So I end up, I seem to always overwrite, and then like sculpture, I chop away.
That's an excellent description of that. Going back to the lipstick, it's got so many elements from the 60s that I can't hear it without laughing, but it's a laugh of delight, because you've got... There's the muted trumpet, there's a low flute, that low flute sound, and then the fingers start snapping, and I just laugh. But as I said before, it's like you're hitting all of the buttons. It's done so much out of love, and it sounds so apt and so right. I can tell why Matthew Weiner just went nuts over it.
Yeah, it was great. It's great. Thank you. Yeah, we have a Hammond organ in that, too.
It's a great...
For real, and they're all real. It's all real players. You know, I spend a lot of my money. They give them a package deal. They give me a certain amount of money per episode. And then when he hired me, that's the one thing he said. He said, I just need you to have as many live musicians as possible.
One thing I really love is I love those little trombone kicks that you put in.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because you're a trombonist. But,
yeah, a composer friend of mine told me all the trombone players in L.A. really appreciate it when they hear the show. I've been right a lot for trombone. Sometimes it's just sambas and bossa novas where the brass is just trombones.
Well, it's always a good idea to keep the brass players on your side, but you come by it honestly. So in addition to the end up being standalone songs, you do a lot of the piecemeal, or I believe the term is underscoring, where you do put in just here and there. And there was one scene I recall when they're talking about they're about to break up the company and start a new company, and they're having a scene and there's no music at all, and they get up and they're about to take action, and then there's a little kick, just bop bop, that you put in there. Did they say to you, we need something here, or are you watching it? How does that evolve?
Mm-hmm. on the show. I've talked to other composers. The general thing is they get the show when the picture's locked and they have a week to write music. You know, Matt really appreciates my concern. I'm like, can I get the earliest cut? So often I get the cut right about the time he sees it. The editor gets the cut, does an editor's cut, and then the director works with the editor. It's called the director's cut, and that's what Matt sees. And then Matt works on it for a few weeks.
Okay.
I get it right after Matt sees it. Or occasionally, if the bigger scene that really a montage that needs music, the editor will send it to me. We need something for this. Often the editors put music in. Lately, Matt takes it all out, and I see something with no music. So I don't know what they've put in. I write my demos where I think there should be music and send it in. And sometimes...
And at this point, it's a studio, it's a computer-generated recording that you just send them as a demo.
Samples that has its downside and has its upside.
Sure. It's quick.
I get to see my idea. But they're still cutting the picture. And often, where I call the editor up and say, is this going to get cut? You know, there's a longer scene that I see. The show's running long. Usually I get it, the show is like 5 to 10 minutes longer than what it will be.
Mm-hmm.
So somewhere, I take 5 minutes out. And that, you know, if I work on a scene, it might really change. It might go away. Or I write a theme that no longer fits after a while. But anyways, I get to go through and put it in. And then, you know, he gets to react to it. The scene gets changed. Sometimes there's a commercial break put right in there. Other shows, they write where the commercial, there's like specific acts, 5 acts, and there's a commercial break. With Mad Men, he writes it like a film, 1 hour, without any breaks.
Oh.
We don't actually know where the breaks are going to go till near the end of the process.
That's like working without a net.
Yeah, sometimes, lately, places like this comes to mind, this season hasn't aired yet, but they were like, oh, I had a great piece of music, but they put a commercial right in the middle of it.
Well,
so I had to so there's no more music there, or there's music second half that comes in.
Well, tell me if I'm wrong about this. I mean, we all have egos, but working this way, you can't have an ego. You write the stuff, and it'll be cut, it'll be moved around, and you've just got to move on to the next thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can stand up for something, which
right.
I have.
Mm-hmm.
Matt said, I've got to be able to disappoint you. I said, oh, definitely. Hopefully, I'll never disappoint you, but you have... Yeah, you should be able to tell me what you don't like, or what you're going to do. That's okay. I know. I spent a long time in New York being a music editor, you know, so I've seen...
You've been on that side of it.
Yeah, I know how producers talk. Composers out there conducting the orchestra, and the director and producer are talking while he's doing a great cue. And you know what I mean? You say, you're going to find something else for the scene, right? You know, I know it's terrible. Like something they throw against the picture.
It's very an enlivening way to work, and it's also, it makes it more efficient that way. And I think what you're describing to me is that you can't fall in love with your music. You've got to be able to cut stuff, throw stuff out if it's not working, even if you spend a long time working on it, and you just got to be able to say bye-bye.
Yeah, it won't live in the picture the way. And then they mix it, you know, the first few seasons, I thought they mixed the music really too low. And actually, Matt has come back and said he did. So now they're mixing it. But, you know, he worked on The Sopranos for a long time, which didn't have a composer. So I think, you know, it takes some adjustment to, you know, how to mix it. I think how to mix score into a picture is, you know, days talking about it. It's a talent.
Did I see you on camera in one of the episodes?
Yeah, you did.
On Babylon? On Babylon?
Singing, yeah, I'm in that.
Playing the auto harp?
Playing the auto harp, which I picked.
That was you.
Yeah, that's me.
That's not a state secret. Are they going to have to pay you more now that I mentioned that?
No, they paid me. I got $135.
Good for you.
And, no, they paid me just like the other guys.
And so all your trombone friends say, hey, where's the trombone?
It's funny that, Matt wanted me to be on camera. I didn't particularly want to be, but... Well, and a couple of times I've said, can I be in the band? There's a band sometimes. And I'm like, can I be the piano player? And he's like, we've already established your character.
Your character, right. You're in the village. We can't bring you up here.
I can never be on the show again unless for some reason he writes it in that, like, that character, that's a character.
By the waters of Babylon, we lay down and wept for thee, Zion. We remember thee, remember thee.
very recent one was the song called, I think it's called Beautiful Women. It follows the storylines of three of the female characters. Did that come about just like the lipstick song? Or?
Yeah, Beautiful Girls. I wrote
Beautiful Girls,
a wall for the end credit.
It has this kind of, I don't know, Parisian, French, really, it's just really lovely. It's heartrending, really.
That was a specific order up from Matt. He was like, this is what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I want a waltz, like a dance hall waltz, French, French cinema.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he had which he likes. I've done a little bit of French here and there. He likes that. He wanted it like that, like a dance hall waltz.
Right.
He loved it. I spent a lot of time writing that music. It's actually longer than what's in the show.
Sounds like that happens a lot.
Yeah, it's an end credit piece. So it's like a little more than a minute, but actually I wrote a longer piece.
Right.
And here's another disappointment. I didn't intend for them to do an edit. They actually have it in the show. They have it come to its natural ending, but they made an edit. What I wanted was, not that I actually told anybody, I wanted to fade out at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's better that the show ends with an ongoing piece of music that fades out. To me, that's
right.
A different feeling. It's like still going on. But yeah, no, he ordered up a waltz for that. Three women walk into the elevator. And when I first gave him the mix, I mixed the strings too loud for him. And I think that, I'd forgotten about the dance hall part. I fell in love with the sound of the strings then. Composers do.
Absolutely.
No, you gotta, it's gonna, you know, gotta have bounce, more bounce, and that's what's there. That's how it came out. Sometimes he's very specific about what he wants.
Well, it sounds like you've got the perfect person to work with, and he has the perfect person to work with. You get along great, and it sounds like you are often on the same page. Speaking with David Carbonara, the love that you infuse in your music just really comes through, and it's everyone can hear that.
Thank you.
Anything else you're working on other than that?
Well, Matt's going to be—he's directing a film, romantic comedy this summer. So.
Mm-hmm. A lot of French waltzes in it.
No, I don't think it's going to be. It's not going to. It's not a period piece, so this will be interesting.
Good.
I don't know what I'll be doing.
Yeah.
Nothing's going to surprise me. That's part of the job.
Well, you've got a great attitude for it. David Carbonara, it's great to talk to you. Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.